Blog Talk Radio.
It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes, it will. It's been too hard living, but I'm afraid to die. I don't know what's up there beyond the sky. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes it will. I go to the movie and I go downtown. Somebody keep telling me don't hang around. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes it will. Then I go to my brother. Hey, brother, help me please. But he winds up knocking me back down on my knees. Lord, there have been times that I thought I could last for long. But I know a change gon' come. Oh, yes it will.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to another edition of our special edition of Let's Talk Fort Worth. I'm Carrie Hines, your host. Listen, tonight, y'all, we are basically coming to you, how do you say, because we got a lot on our mind. And so, first of all, we want to remind you that the music you just heard, we do not have the rights to. Also, we're going to ask you to please click tag and share. Tell someone less, talk about what was this on the air. And tonight, we just want to talk to y'all about what we witnessed last night as we saw the finalists for the Office of Oversight Monitor, the Office for Police Oversight Monitor. They call it OPM, is the acronym. So y'all listen, I want to apologize. Tonight I scheduled the show for 7 o'clock and realized it probably would be better suited for 8 o'clock. And I went back in and thought I changed the time for this show, but I changed the time for another show, only to find out we probably have been in the queue, let's just say, since about 7 o'clock. So that's my mistake, y'all. That happens when you're doing stuff on a fly, and you are not paying attention to all of the small details. So that's what happened, and I apologize. So we were supposed to come on at 7, switch the time to 8, but did not correctly document that in the system. But anyway, so y'all, we want to talk about tonight what we saw last night, and some may say what we thought we saw, we really didn't see, but I think we did see what we thought we saw. you know, y'all catch that tomorrow. But we saw two young ladies who look like us, Michelle Phillips, and I'm going to probably butcher this name, but I'm going to do my best. I want to say I kept hearing Esther call her Bunzel. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that right or not, but I thought I heard him say Bunzel. Sokumbi. Again, like I said, I'm probably butchering her name. But anyway, it was two beautiful black women, educated, smart, articulate, basically very versed on how to do the job, you know, of a police oversight monitor. However, in that, are they going to come in and do exactly what Kim Neal did, which we're going to talk about that tonight, because if we bring in another police oversight monitor or director for the police oversight monitor, what are we getting exactly? And is it going to fix our problem? That's what we're going to talk about tonight. I see Adrian and Chris on the line. Good evening, y'all.
Hey, good evening, Carrie.
Good evening.
Hey, good evening, Carrie.
Okay. So, good y'all, evening, you know, as I just said, you know, we're doing this on the fly, y'all. We ain't got no scripts, no notes. We're just on the fly based on what we saw last night, because we got a show tomorrow night at 7 p.m. We hope that you will tune in for that show as we talk to the candidates, the two that are in the runoff for District 11, and that will be Rick Herring and Jeanette Martinez. So we're going to be back here tomorrow night at 7 p.m. But tonight, we just thought we'd come to y'all, tell y'all what we thought about what we saw last night. So, y'all, what are your thoughts on what you watched last night?
I'll defer to Chris.
You
no, you go ahead, Chris.
Okay. Well, this is my wheelhouse, y'all. This is one of my, you know.
You cut out, Chris.
Yeah.
I said, this is my wheel. This police matter is my wheelhouse, you know. And so the where do you start with this thing? The first thing that I would start with, my critique of the format of the forum was. Mm-hmm. Sort of just an extension of what's going on at City Council, and what Mr. Bob Willoughby always talks about is the suppression of the people's participation, the people's First Amendment ability to petition for redress of grievances and to vent their frustrations with public officials. You know, it just gets shut down, and when they shut that down, that just creates a pressure cooker for more problems, you know, as far as everything that we're trying to accomplish, it becomes a disability, you know. So beyond that, what I said was that the format was, and I'm just going to be a muckraker here. I just felt like the format was designed to force feed the people more Fort Worth way bullshit, you know.
Yeah.
And that's not a knock on the candidates' credentials and the candidates at all. You know, I believe that they were highly qualified. I believe that they are coming into this with ready to tackle the issues and be objective and be willing to compromise where compromise is proper. However, the thing is, we've got the Fort Worth POA, and that was an issue that came up in the forum, and I just see that the way that the forum was formatted, that there was a lot, like I said, the same kind of subterfuge, the subterfuge structure of the Fort Worth POA sway was in effect with that format, and we can move on when we want to talk about. That's just my preliminary, so I'll let you go ahead and go, and then we can talk about the candidates later.
Okay. Adrian?
Okay, so my observation was first and foremost, I wasn't too fond of the effort that was made to get the information out regarding this particular form. And then I wasn't aware of what was going on until last week when I just so happened to happen up on the city's website, and I saw some information on this, and I read through it, and I'm like, you know, I'm like, what the, what, like, when did this come about, you know? So the secrecy, the what they've been doing, like, it's like they did the election mass over what they've been doing, you know, with the election, did it mass over this? Because, again, I didn't know nothing about this, and when I read discussing with y'all earlier, the previous article that I was referring to, they vetted over 70 candidates. Per what this article stated, they vetted over 70 applicants. Wow. So when did you all start this, and how did you go from you break it down from 70 to 2? You know what I'm saying? Who made that determination? But the output of information to the community, it lets you know that they are not concerned about nothing as it relates to the recommendations that have been made for the last, what, since 2000, I think the Race and Culture Task Force recommendations finalized in 2018. And Ms. Kim Hill made recommendations before she stepped away. So, again, is it the dog and pony show? Is it we're going to give them something, you know, because we're headed into another, we just can't coming out of a new political season. We got to give them something to kind of, we're giving them something to kind of, you know, quell the possible questioning or whatever. But as far as the candidates, I concur with you, Kerry. We already agreed that, hey, if I was mayor or city manager, I would try to find a budget to bring both of them on. I said, because they are both well qualified, and considering where they are already serving and the capacities that they are already serving, I would say that, hey, you know, they could do the job. They can do the job. I think, the media was there. You know, media, they did their part, the city. The mayor was a no-show.
Mm-hmm.
Mayor was a no-show. Chief Notes
let me kick
was
in.
A no-show. Chief Notes
me,
was a no-show. And then, hold on real quick. And then I would say, we did have representation. Shout out to Jared Williams. He did. He was visible. And Wallace Bridges from the former ISD trustees. He was present.
And Kim Neal.
And Ms. Kim Neal. Yes, outgoing OPOM. Yes.
Right.
You got it, Chris.
Okay. So just really, you opened the door to what I was feeling. So that's the issue that I have. I talked about how we just got force-fed some more Fort Worth POA BS about the issues of policing. And What's important to note is also, if this is a serious issue and if this city is faithfully committed to any kind of change or any kind of movement on these issues, any kind of open dialogue, any kind of valid, genuine exchange of progress in this area, Chief Noakes was a no-show. I didn't see any there was no police officers there. And what the inference there is that that's a flex. And that's the impression that I get, that the mayor and the mayor took POA money, all of the city council members that took POA money. I don't know if Jared Williams did or did not. I think that he might have just been there because the event happened in his district, but the inference that I'm going to draw by the facts and the optics of whatever was that none of the city officials were there. No, if you know what I'm saying. So what I think it is that the Fort Worth POA sent out the freaking signal, the alert that, hey, stay away because these guys are trying to do something wrong to the POA. You know, and so, and that's wrong. That just sits there and tells you exactly, that just compounds the issue that I have with the no public engagement. So there was no public voice there. It was these, and basically what the moderator, Mr. Tucker, I'm not really going to knock him. I don't know, but it sounded to me like he was trying to freaking be a Band-Aid on that issue by saying that, oh, we've got all these questions and we'll be here till midnight if we answer all these questions. So basically what we've done is we've had come together and we've looked at all the questions and we've made these slice and dice.
Y'all are putting like 50 things in one category. I mean, seriously.
Yeah.
So let's break them down in categories, because otherwise we're all over the page in terms. So let's just deal with the fact, you know, and I know that most of these events, just to piggyback off what Chris just said, most of these events where Gina Bivens is in the community or Beck or anybody else, you'll see at least 5 to 7. Sometimes 10 police officers.
Mm-hmm.
How is it that this event had no police officers, not even the chief?
It was a
walkout. Was there somebody there, Adrian?
No, the only police officers were there. They were up front. It was like maybe one police officer. That was just for the, you know, just for, I guess, provide security, just that or the other for the. But other, no, it wasn't no, no. It was one officer.
Y'all, these community events, the last one Gina Bivens had, let me see, okay. The one she had at T.D. Jakes Church, there were at least, like, I think it was like two guards at the door. And then the event that they had on Meadowbrook, at the church on Meadowbrook, there were like, oh, my God, there was like 10 officers there at least. And so I've seen the video that Bob Willoughby was put out of the event. Gina Bivens hosted. Remember all those officers that were there? So in this particular event, no officers show up. You see how that works?
Well, here's the bottom line. At minimum, the NPO who was assigned to Como should have been there, and he should have been visible. He should have been mingling. He should have been behind the vibration.
But let me say this. If you're going to say that an independent review board is a bad thing, and then you're going to say that if you have a new OPM director, the police have a problem with that too, well, damn, they just want to be rogue cops, it sounds like to me. No direction whatsoever. Don't nobody say nothing to us. We just do whatever we want to do. And, you know, if you don't like it, too bad. That's sending the wrong signal, in my opinion. For the police chief not to show up signals his officers that this isn't something that, you know, we even care about. And I just think that's sending the wrong signal, because if OPM is there to assist in which they're supposed to be neutral, so balance. So make sure the officer's doing his job, make sure if he's doing a really great job, that's noted. If he's doing a poor job, that's noted. Well, who has a problem with that unless you got bad intentions? Because if you leave your house every day as an officer, you put your gun belt on and your flashlight and all the other stuff they put on that belt, and you head out to work. If your only intention is to do your job for 8 hours, why would OPM be a problem to you? I don't think
right. Here's why. Let me explain why. Something that's on the just over the horizon, probably in about 6 months, there's going to be a meet and confer agreement being negotiated that expires next summer for the Fort Worth POA. And what that is, this is what people need to understand, because the city's not informing. This is all just stuff that you you got to mind down and you got to understand. And I wish Manuel Mata was on the line because he kind of understands a lot about the meet and confer stuff that's going on. But that is a vet right now. That is within less than 365 days. The Fort Worth POA, the last time that I think it's a 5-year thing. I think the last time Betsy Price, and it was when the president was Van Houten of the Fort Worth POA, and Van Houten was the one that went ahead. Van Houten was the one that was in charge when they scapegoated when the Courtney Johnson and the Halstead, and then after that he got freaking dumped and went off into the dust in the wind, and then we had Manny Ramirez come in. You know, it's like if we're serious and we're willing about to have an open dialogue about all of the issues, why wasn't Chris Nettles there? I mean, there was a big conversation about a Tatiana there was a little point in time that was about a Tatiana Jefferson. Chris Nettles should have been there. I mean, if nobody's serious, what I'm telling you is the impression that I get is from the city leadership is that nobody is interested in having the OPOM have any. It's just like it's not even a serious proposition.
Was the mayor?
Exactly.
Where was the mayor? I mean, I'm sorry. Listen. Okay, I'm gonna say it in the nicest possible way, but I'm not gonna tell you what I'm really thinking. If relations between the police and the community is strained, that means OPM is needed to some degree. Even though we're not sure how this thing is going to pan out because Kim Neal was there for 2 years and we still didn't see much change in the city in terms of policing, even though they were supposed to have written a lot of policies and that type of thing. That said, the mayor should be as concerned as anyone as to who gets that job, how they interact, or how the city seems to be maybe vibing with them as they were speaking. You know, were they nodding in agreement that they seemed to like them? You know, were they the type of people that, you know, the people would feel comfortable, you know, coming to if they had a problem? All of those sorts of things. And so I would think that the mayor should have been there too. So I just really wonder, like, how much of this can we really believe if things are going to change if the mayor and the police chief don't seem to even take the forum very seriously? I'm just saying.
Well, here's what I would put out. What I would put out also, too, is we don't consider – so we've said all of this stuff about we don't know our city leadership is behind this, so fine. But you know what? The city leadership don't mind writing the hot check on the taxpayers' back, okay, and putting the taxpayers basically putting taxpayers responsible for a multi-million-dollar, okay, because there's probably 12 to 20 staff members that are associated with this initiative with the OPOM.
I think I heard
they're pretty well paid, right? Mm-hmm. So this is a multi-million dollar budget thing every year, and what we're getting is the impression that I get is this is a multi-million dollar thing that the taxpayers are paying for, but it's absolutely nothing but Fort Worth Way wooden nickel tokenism again. They're just basically throwing millions of dollars away every single year for something that they just want to play fluff about.
Okay, let's start here then. What does OPM do? Okay, OPM basically, and for anybody that's not clear, OPM stands for the Office of Police Oversight Monitor. In essence, OPM writes policies about how to, let's just say something has to happen or have already happened, and they – step in and say, hold up. You know, it would be better if the officer, you know, didn't just walk into a room or didn't get into a car, that the officer followed this procedure to make it safe for all parties involved. So that's kind of like what OPM does. So they don't have any subpoena power. They don't have any authority to investigate. They do not have any authority to basically reprimand, fire, or do anything like that. So that said, even though these two young ladies were very well put together in terms of their experience, but what can we really expect is going to change if they get the position? Because they talked a lot about the things that they did in their cities that they're currently working in, but that's not what we do here in Fort Worth. So how is bringing a new one on board going to change anything? Is my question.
Well, I'm going to spit my last cynical comment, and I'm going to be short with it and let you go, Adrian. My last cynical comment about this whole situation is that what the people of Fort Worth need to understand, and the stakeholders that are involved in that are legitimately and genuinely involved in trying to freaking advance better policing culture in Fort Worth, what they don't understand is that the city leaders, they view OPM as mental salve. You know, it's just Vaseline. That's it. That's it. That's the truth.
So, okay. What is your thoughts, Adrian?
I would say, think about this. See, the OPM was established. It really was, I believe it was established when we were under pandemic protocols, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So,
yeah.
So I would say this. I think OPM is in place to keep us from establishing the police and community advisory board that we've been asking for. That's why they have OPM in place, so they can say, so they can basically say, we're listening to the community. We're giving you transparency. We're giving you something. You know, I think that's the only reason why they established OPM, because you remember, everything started back in what, with the Race and Culture Task Force? Did they 2016? No, was it 2016? So they were doing their work since 2016, and then all of a sudden you come up with this OPM right at the cusp of the pandemic. So again, I think it's just in place just to keep us from establishing the police, and because you think about this, the difference between OPM and having a community police and community advisory board, you have more eyes, you have more ears, you have more people, you know, perspectives involved in what's going on. But with OPM, I think they have a staff, but the voice of OPM is the person they select to be that. The head of it, you know, the staff works under them, but the staff doesn't answer to no one but the individual who's the voice in the face of OPM. But if we had that board established, depending on how many people sit on it, yeah, it would be more open, more transparent, more accountability would have to be given into consideration. So. But you know, this is how they do it. They give it. They always know how to. I say pacify us. That's what they're good at, trying to, you know, pacify us.
I don't think the advisory board is what we need, though. I think the oversight. I think the oversight board is what we need, independent citizen review board. Because I think the advisory board, remember, the chief wants to handpick those.
No. I'm talking about the one they voted down. That's how they termed it. Remember, because Chris said, let's not get caught up in the lane, because people were They were so, at first they were caught up in the language. They thanking people because we kept on saying oversight, oversight. And then he said it's not an oversight, it's an advisory. So I'm referencing the one that they voted down.
Okay, the one they voted down was the chief. That's the one that he wanted to pick the 19 people? Is that the one you're talking about?
No, I'm talking about the one they voted down, the council voted down, the one we wanted, the people, the community wanted. That's the one I'm
referencing. I think we're talking about two different things, though, because that was not an advisory board. The people wanted a citizen review board. And the advisory board, I believe, is what the chief was asking for, is it not?
No, but again, it goes back to the language of how they, whenever you see how they word it, they always refer to, they don't say oversight. Remember, they had that big discussion up in that dais, and I remember Chris saying it's not over because people had issues with it, sounding like we saying oversight. He said advisory panel or police and community advisory. Advisory board. It's advisory. That's how they made it up.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so what did they call what the chief was trying to put together with the 19 people? You remember? Remember he had a board that he was trying to comprise of 19 people, and he had already picked 13. And then they asked him the question, how many of these people get CCTD funding? And he said he didn't know, which was a clue.
Here's how that played out, okay? When they had that vote that you was talking about, the vote came, all of the millions of dollars that they spent for the two or three different independent studies, what Adrian knows the name of them, you know, the Del Carmen and the other one, the Racial and Justice Task Force, I don't know the names. But what happened was all of that, the city spent millions, another wooden nickel tokenism of the Fort Worth way, they spent millions of taxpayer dollars to bring in all of these people that came in and did an independent study, and they basically said the issues that were at play and that there needs to be, they recommended civilian oversight. They recommended that the people needed some leverage to freaking hold police accountable for the bullshit that's going on in Fort Worth.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened was that was voted down. And after that was voted down, it started this cascading thing that caused Tim Neal to resign. Okay, and nobody knows. Mm-hmm. Tim Neal ain't come out and told the people nothing. I don't know why she showed up at this OPOM to give her, I don't know, to have a seance for whatever comes next. I'm not trying to disparage her, but I thought it was disingenuous because she's no longer tied to the city. She needs to come out and call it out and say what the hell happened. But I know that the way that the things lined up were when they voted down the freaking, her goal was to get the civilian oversight board. They voted it down. And after that, she said, I'm done. I'm looking for something else because ain't shit happening here. There ain't no progress happening with policing in Fort Worth. And so she tapped out. Okay? And then after that's when you got fucking Neil Noakes coming in and talking about his Fort Worth POA variant of whatever you want to call it. I'm going to try to be nice tonight.
I got the language, Carrie. Real quick, I got the language. Okay, so what was recommended by the Race and Culture Task Force in November. Okay, whereas in November 2018, the Fort Worth Task Force on Race and Culture recommended the City Council establish the framework. So you were right. The City Council established a framework required to set up and appoint a civilian review board or an alternative model of civilian oversight that would have an effective role in police accountability and oversight. Now, you were right. So I think Google is the devil, everybody. I want everybody to know Google is the devil. You type it how you – all you got to do is type it how you think. So Chief Noakes, like you stated, he was recommending a advisory an advisory. But we wanted oversight. He just wanted advisory.
What Neil Noakes was trying to do with that proposition, he was trying to freaking sell the Fort Worth POA sway to the city council to get them to go his way and the POA way. Okay? Because what he had, when Kim Neal announced her retirement, he knew she was a lame duck and that they didn't have no OPOM in play and they didn't have nobody advocating what we was talking about with. And this is all happening in the same time frame of the Dean trial. So what Neil Noakes decided to do was he got the finger in the back by the POA to go out there and say, hey, try to sell the Fort Worth POA sway to the city council and get them, you know, try to win the hearts and mind with this advisory board and to get all the people that you paid off with CCCPD money to come on and fucking and let's see if we can mobilize the community behind this freaking phony ass idea of the POA the POA and the POA's police chief Neil Noakes getting fucking full throttle command of whatever the hell people are whatever it is I'm just outraged. I really am. It's beyond words.
Let me say what I think. Yeah, I think that Kim Neal was paid very well to do whatever it was that they wanted her to do. And I think I don't know what she thought when she took the job, but I think what they wanted her to do was put a pacifier in the people's mouth while at the same time telling the people that I'm the black hope. You know what I'm saying? Y'all got problems, bring them to me. And so when the people began to finally come to her after 2 years, because remember, they were set up in the middle of COVID, when people finally started to say, well, okay, there's that OPM department, let's start taking it to them, that's when people like myself and others realized that OPM was an empty suit. In essence, like you go there and you listen. I went there, I took my complaint to them. They said, we're going to turn it into IED for you. And I never heard back from OPM again. And Catherine Huckabee, I don't trust that lady at all because she gave me the number, and I will not take it back, on a lime green sticky and told me that was the name and number for the supervisor or the number for the supervisor for the officer who had given me problems, Chavez. Anyway, for some reason that day, I was too exhausted to call him. But the next morning, bright and early, I called him, and the person told me, and it was a 214 number. When I really looked at the paper and realized it was a 214 number, I was at first thinking, well, who works for the city of Fort Worth with the 214 number? But anyway, after calling the number, they said, we don't know what you're talking about. We don't work for the city of Fort Worth. We've never had any connections with the city of Fort Worth, which was really strange. And then Catherine Huckabee denied giving me the line from the city with the number on it. So in terms of OPM, I have zero trust in it as it exists today. Now, will one of these new young ladies, you know, bring in something new? I don't know. But I just want to understand, What are we saying we're doing? Because in essence, what are we expecting something different? Because if Kim didn't have any oversight in terms of investigative subpoena power, you know, able to reprimand an officer, you know, able to recommend someone be fired, Dan, what do we really expect to come from these two? So they gave us this great big buildup last night. Like, here, you know, we gave you two people that look like you. They even have natural hair. And so here you are, you know, the great black hopes, you know, for fixing this. But the truth be told, what are they going to fix? Because if they have the exact same job description that Kim Neal had, what can we really expect to change? That's my two cents.
Here's what it is. Here's what it is. This is just a repeat pattern template. This is the repeat pattern template that they gave us when they hired Chief Fitzgerald. Okay? Things came to a head with Halstead, right? And everybody knows the story about that. Things came to a head with Halstead, and it blew up, and they got the feds involved because you got to understand the intricacies. I'm not going to get into it, but it was an administrative thing. It was with Halstead, the whole issue with the consent, there was a, what people need to understand that there was a limited, there was a specific, some specific parameter consent decree going on with the Fort Worth Police Department that forced Halstead out, and it put the Fort Worth PD in a position to where they had to freaking bring in somebody that a black, the first black police chief in the history of Fort Worth.
Mm-hmm.
And they brought him in, and that pissed the fuck out of the POA.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Because the POA is, the POA is the Gestapo of the Fort Worth Club. That's it. And it's a clavering operation. That's
oh.
it. I'm going to get off of that. However, what you saw, if you really study and you were really analytical and you were really deep into what happened with Fitzgerald, was he came in, and as soon as he came in, it was he was very effective. He was holding officers accountable. If we would have kept Fitzgerald here, we wouldn't be having a discussion about OPOM. We wouldn't be having a discussion about police oversight because Fitzgerald, he demonstrated the leadership, true grit leadership, and the ability to go beyond the POA and say, look, this is right and this is wrong, and if you screw up as a police officer with the Fort Worth, the police department, you're fired. He fired a lot of police officers for dumb shit, and that's how it has to be. But Neil Noakes, what Neil Noakes does, he just, I don't even know what you call it, man. The dude is a limp dick numb nuts motherfucker.
Yeah, that was Chris Marino.
Hey, but Carrie, we have to realize also these Kim Neal, all of these candidates are the two candidates and then Mr. Kim Neal, they all came from something that they established from wherever they were from, you know. So they have the know-how to do what it is they know how to do. However, this is Tarrant County. This is Fort Worth, you know. And
someone said the most racist city in America. But anyway, go ahead.
So I don't think that they really know what they'll be up against. I mean, I'm not disparaging them as, you know, their qualifications and what they can and cannot do, because I believe they're very well capable. But we know their hands will be tied. And again, this is still this still doesn't answer the questions of the community and say, give to us what the community wants. You know what I'm saying? They still don't give us what the community wants. You know, oversight, you know.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Hey, let's go ahead and, hey, Adrian, Carrie, let's go ahead and transition into the into deciphering what's going on with these candidates, because
let me piggyback on something he just said, though. Yo, in essence, because I don't know when it's going to cut us off, y'all, because we started so late. In essence, this is not what we ask for when you get through. If you want to give us two people to put on OPM, I think that's what it's going to need. You got two well-qualified women with a lot of experience. If you want to tell us we need to pick one, we really think you need to hire them both. So that part moved aside. We still don't think if you put them both on there, we're going to get anything different than what we already had. Kim Neal was very qualified to do what she was brought in to do, and that was to write policies. And we still have yet to see which policies were recommended and if they were ever even implemented. So that said, this does not answer the call that the people or the cry of the people, where the people have said, we want an independent citizens review board to deal with police issues. And so, you know, all the fancy policies from last night, very impressive. But at the same time, we know that the Fort Worth way is not going to be moved by two educated black women coming in here, one or the other. It's not going to change overnight the problems that exist. And the Bun Seal one, I appreciate the fact she said a change going to come. I agree. At some point it will, but I don't think – did you catch that, Adrian? She said at the very end, y'all, toward – I think in her closing, she said something about a change will come. I agree, but it just might not be tomorrow. And so I'm agreeing with you. This was some like a real big snow job, you know, in terms of like a bait and switch, you know, a pigeon drop. You know, you're looking at, you know, they put that one thing under the shell and you're looking for it and they keep moving it around and you think, oh, it's over there. No, this is a shell game, because what we're asking for, you put it under the peanut, but then, or the shell of the peanut, but you keep moving it around and you keep saying, oh, it's over here, but it ain't over there. We know what we want. We want a citizens review board. And as educated as these two women are, and well put together and articulate and experienced, distilling what we ask for. And so we're not confused. You might think we're confused, but we're not. We're still very clear on what we need. So if you want to hire somebody, hire them. But past that, we still got the same problem.
Let me cut this up with the forensics. My forensic analysis of this is in a dream world. Okay, here's what I love, and if I could put all my chips on the table for Michelle Phillips, I would do it. Mm-hmm. Okay, I would do it because I believe that is what we're looking for. Where she's worked in Baltimore and where she's worked in Oakland, okay. Where she's worked in Baltimore mm-hmm. and where she's worked in Oakland, those mm-hmm. things, that kind of environment is very mm-hmm. productive to handle the situation we're dealing with. But here's mm-hmm. what we got to understand, and this is where I mean, if I could, I would put all my chips on the table for Michelle Phillips, the idea of the OIG. Basically, she's worked at departments where the oversight of the police has to do with non-police officers dealing with internal affairs investigations in Baltimore and in Oakland. They've got freaking – that means that the oversight committee, they have investigators, independent OIG investigators that deal when there's an internal affairs investigation, they are right there. And they are the power players with what goes on with accountability, and it's not POA members. The POA members are in Fort Worth are IAD members. So that's a wrong setup there. But here's what I can say. But we have to realize, and this is why I'm willing to put all of my chips on the table for Bun Seal, because Bun Seal comes from south of the Mason-Dixon line, y'all. We got to understand that. Bun Seal's down in New Orleans, and she has accolades. I did some research and everything, and she's made some progress, and she's had some strides. She knows what she's dealing with here in Fort Worth. And I'm not knocking anything down for Michelle Phillips. I wish that what we could do is say, let's have Michelle. And here's the big deal. The whole reason I'm putting all of my chips on the table for Bun Seal is because we have that meet and confer agreement coming up next year. And I think that it is necessary to have a lawyer involved in that. If we can get her here as soon as possible and get her freaking wheels off the ground with this oversight thing, that means that come around next spring, she's ready to start poking holes in what's going on with the city council and the POA with that consent and defer agreement, meet and confer agreement stuff. If I could really have it my way, let's hire Bonzio for 2 years, and then let's have a contract that lets Bonzio move on to some better position in Fort Worth or some better position somewhere else. And then afterwards, because what Michelle Phillips is talking about, that's really what the goal needs to be. You know, and I believe Michelle Phillips is power to the people. But what I feel, honestly, and the reason I'm putting all my chips on the table is because I think that Bonzio is the one that who's going to be able to freaking – I think she's going to have the most leverage against what we're dealing with here in Fort Worth. And I'm done.
I think – you know what? I'm going to jump in. I think what I liked about Bonzio kept saying, how did we get here? And that is the million-dollar question in Fort Worth. How did we get here? How did we get to a place where back in Obama's day, he put an advisory board to look at different cities that had issues with police departments? Fort Worth made the list. You know, mm-hmm. I talked with those people. Keith Tatum, he was part of the people that they were talking to here in Fort Worth that was helping them to figure it all out. So, y'all, that was way back in Obama. You know, they were trying to figure it out. And so, you know, again, it's a shell game because we tell the chief, we tell the city, we tell the council, we need a citizens review board, and the chief come back and says, okay, we're going to get your director for OPM or the city. Let's just say the city. We're going to say the chief, the city. The city says, okay, we got IAD if you got a complaint. We're going to get you a new director for OPM, and the chief's going to put you together an advisory board. So, again, shell game is we're trying to win one particular thing, and they keep moving it around saying, okay, it's not over mm-hmm. here, it's over there. What you really need is an advisory board. What you really need is a new director in OPM instead of just giving the people what they're trying to get. And that's the Citizens Review Board. In terms of these two young ladies, what I saw last night, these two young ladies were neck and neck, in my opinion. But I think Michelle edged her out. Now, it may have been just she was making a whole lot of promises she cannot, you know, make good on. It sounded good. But in terms of, you know, her saying that she wanted to get with the community when things were not working out and, you know, expose stuff and, you know, she wasn't afraid to lose her job and she had to move on, you know, that type of thing because she was just going to do what she was true to. That was all appreciated. And I hope it was what she said it was because we had a certain council person a couple of years ago that was very revolutionary. And they got on when they were sworn in and they told us they were going to do a whole bunch of revolutionary stuff. But they ain't doing it. So they made some promises that sounded good as they were being sworn in. But,
Is that the dude with my name?
Huh?
Is that the dude with my first name?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Sort of. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That one. Right. And so the thing is, so Michelle sounded good based on the promises that she made, but can she make good on these promises? Because Fort Worth ain't Oakland and Fort Worth ain't Baltimore. And so
right.
Fort Worth POA has a way of walking you down. That's it. So I think she is Bonzio, but I don't know that. Well, let me finish.
Sure.
I think Michelle edged out Bonzio, but I think if I was going to say hire one, I'd say hire both. Y'all spend the money on the POA to, you know, give it to, I mean, no, I'm sorry, the CCPD money to give it to people who ain't got no experience doing nothing to stop crime. So why not hire these two women to hopefully fix the problems in the police department? So take the CCPD money, take their salaries out the budget, and see if that can fix some of the problems in Fort Worth. That's my take on what we should do.
I'm right there with you. I believe that Phillips was, that Michelle Phillips was, is the perfect person that we need in an ideal situation, I believe. And she might be effective. If they pick her, that's good. However, what I fear, and what I see going on with Michelle is going to be the same thing that went on with Fitzgerald. I think the Fort Worth Way already has their freaking, if they pick Michelle Phillips, I think they already, I'm just saying, because it's the same thing. He came from Philly. He did a little bit of work in Missouri City, Texas, and he was good, and he held people accountable down there. And then he came to Fort Worth. Fitzgerald should have never been fired, but blah, 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 blah. I am just afraid that it's going to turn into the same thing so what I'm saying is I would just encourage people, if they could, call their council members and whatever. Let's go ahead and get Bonzio in here and get this this meet and confer thing handled. Bonzio knows. I think Bonzio knows that that's on the horizon. She mentioned the meet and confer agreement, so I think she's already strategizing. So I think Bonzio has the sharp elbows we need right now to get where we need to go in the next couple of years.
I thought you just said Michelle. I thought you just said Michelle.
No, I said Bonzio is who we need for the next 2 years. What I'm saying is that Michelle Phillips, if it wasn't Fort Worth, if we didn't have to deal with the Fort Worth Way and we were just dealing with some silliness, okay, fine. But I think that Bonzio has, I think the Bonzio, I don't know her last name. It's a funny one. Mm-hmm. I think that if you got to place your bet, I think she's the one that's going to be the one that's going to be able to leverage the most with what we got going on in the next 365 days with the meet and confer agreement, because I think she's going to come in and that's going to be her spearhead. She's going to try to get in there and toggle. She's going to try to toggle what's going on between city council and the meet and confer agreement that they're going to do with the POA.
But the thing, you know what, we as a community, and those who are concerned about the continual actions of law enforcement, non-accountability, they have to realize that we have to be involved. You know, I know we. Because I think with Kim Neal, other than people who like yourself, Carrie Emanuel, that I knew of who had complaints, you know, that they didn't go nowhere. People need to be, and they were stressing it last night. We need you all, you know. Don't just leave us out here to hang. You know, we're coming here to hopefully try to strengthen the relationship or whatever, hold accountable law enforcement. But don't you all leave us out here to hang and dry, you know. I think they understand that the possibility of what they'll be up against, but they need the community to be behind them, you know. They need the people to be behind them. And I think that would embolden them even more, you know, knowing that they have our support, they have our voices, they have our, you know, our presence, you know, whatever.
Mm-hmm. Here's the analogy. Go ahead, Karen.
No, I was going to wind this down, but go ahead.
Okay. Here's the analogy that I'll make, and this will be my last point for the night. What we need to understand is we need a wrecking ball. And I believe we need a wrecking ball to crash this system, the Fort Worth Way system, as far as policing goes. And I think Bonzio is the wrecking ball. I believe that we have to have a wrecking ball to knock this temple of doom down. And after we have the wrecking ball, to tear this temple of doom down to its cornerstone, then we can rebuild with somebody like Michelle Phillips.
Well, let's see this. Okay. You can't be no wrecking ball and your salary is paid by the city. If it was independent, I could see she's going to be a wrecking ball. But, you know, the minute you do something that your boss doesn't like, your boss calls you into the office and says, hey, we're not doing that here. You know, revamp this or revamp that, which is what I kind of think happened to Kim Neal. Kim Neal may have come into this area with good intentions, but she left with very much a problem because at the end of the day, wait a minute, come on, Chris. She left without having very much accomplished because at the end of the day, you know, when she came on the show, y'all can go back and find it in the archives. Kim Neal and Catherine Huckabee came on the show and talked about Oprah. And after about an hour and a half into the show, I realized, what do y'all do? I realized the job description was like very vague. In all, in essence, they were doing was writing policies, and then I said, well, what policies have you written and that have been implemented? And they couldn't even answer that question. So, in my opinion, how are you going to be a wrecking ball? I mean, really.
Here's the thing. I agree with you, Carrie, and I will. And it's a point that I considered in my calculation. The point of Michelle Phillips, she made a very quick point to articulate that she's willing to organize, she's willing to freaking buck and get some independence going on. Okay? So like what you're sitting there saying, that she's willing to go to the community and call all the freaking leaders out and put them in formation to make something happen, to get this whole notion of police oversight independent. Okay? But I agree with you there. However, I still gotta go with Bonzeal because I'm very, very concerned and I very, very hope that Bonzeal will come in with her number one priority being that meet and confer agreement, that she needs to get her elbows, that she needs to penetrate that process as deep as possible before anything is signed. And I think as an attorney, I think she understands those concepts.
Well, Adrian, you were in the building last night as they were doing the forum. How did you take the way the crowd was feeling, the two candidates? Who did you think the crowd was more leaning towards?
Towards Michelle.
Mm-hmm. Did you pick up, like, which questions she was, you know, getting them excited about?
I think it's just more of her, she had like more, just her energy. I think it's just her energy, more or less her energy. Yeah. Just
she
like
was
her
energy, and the other one was laid back, very laid back. Wow.
Yeah. That's
interesting. Go ahead, Adrian. Mm-hmm. Y'all, this is where I'm at. We had 70 candidates vetted, and we didn't find out about who was on the list until we got down to two. Y'all, that's reason for concern. The fact that they did not advertise it very well at all. The fact that the forum was supposed to be from 7 to 9, but it started late and ended early. There was no audience participation for the most part. It was not well attended because I think the people didn't know, you know, and the location was very interesting. Instead of having it at City Hall, they had it, you know, in Como, which is still very suspect. The fact that of all the city leadership, you had David Cook, Wallace Bridges, who's on the school board, and then you had Jared Williams, who's the council person over Como now. And then you had Kim Neal, who's a former director of OPUM, in attendance, which is very strange, and I'm not sure how her participation in this whole forum, you know, plays into all of this. Yep. The thing is, I have a problem that if you had 70 candidates, you pick two black women with natural hair. Now, is that a coincidence? I don't think so. But it almost seems like, you know, Fort Worth is thinking like, okay, we're going to give you somebody that looks like you. You know, we're going to give you what you want, even though that's not what we said we want. And then we're going to look at you and be not satisfied and say, well, what's the problem? We gave you what you want, even though that's not what we asked for. So I think we still need an independent citizens review board that is capable of investigating situations, that has subpoena power, that has the authority to recommend, you know, punishment if need be to a particular officer. I think that's still needed. And despite what happens or the outcome of last night's forum, that should still be on the table. I think Estrus Tucker is a very intelligent and well-qualified man, even though I don't think last night was his best work. I think for whatever reason, he should not have ended early and not allowed the audience to participate. However, I do believe Estrus was told what to do, so I don't know that it mm-hmm. was necessary for Estrus' decision to do it. I also felt like Estrus somewhat favored one candidate over the other. I just thought the way mm-hmm. he was lining questions didn't seem they were balanced. And for somebody who does talk shows every week, it's very easy to know which person to go to on the question. And so I was just very surprised that he seemed thrown off sometime as to whose turn it was to go first when he only had two people to interview. So I'm not sure what was going on with that. The fact that the police chief and the mayor did not show up, that's very interesting because this is a very important decision for a city that currently is saying we don't trust the police. We fear the police. And those two people will be definitely part of the decision making. And the fact that they did not show up is interesting. And last but not least, and I'm going to leave it right here, if you're going to do it, you need them both because yeah. you find the money to do everything else. So you got a wealth of knowledge, you know, on both sides, a wealth of experience, both educated. You know, if you really want to resolve this, get them both. Maybe you take out some of those people in the department who are not as qualified. Catherine Huckabee has no experience to do what she does except for the time that she's been on OPA. Maybe give that hundred and some thousand dollars that you're giving to Catherine Huckabee to one of those ladies and put mm-hmm. top heavy, you know, put two top heavy, strong, experienced women in OPA if you want to do the right thing. And so
I believe that they would, I really got the impression that they would be very cooperative, that they would be very complimentary to each other, and there wouldn't be friction.
I agree. And so some of those people that you got in OPM who don't have any experience except for the experience that they've gotten from being on the job, maybe some of those need to be removed to put these two well-experienced women in the department to fix the problems that exist within the police department. Y'all listen, we got to get out of here. Y'all know we do this each and every Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m., so we will be back here tomorrow night talking to Rick Herring and Jeanette Martinez. Both of them are in the runoff for District 11. Going to be a very interesting show, y'all. A lot of interest in that show. Also, y'all listen, if you have a product, a service, a business, a nonprofit who you want to get the word out about, consider advertising right here on Last Talk Fort Worth. Drop us a line at lasttalkfortworth@aol.com. Also, if you got a news tip, we're interested, we're listening, drop us a line at lasttalkfortworth, again, at aol.com. That's lasttalkfortworth@aol.com. Listen, y'all, for all those that keeps getting confused, we're a talk show. If everybody else is talking about it, we're talking about it too. So we don't pick on anybody. We just provide the evidence and let you be the judge. So keep it locked right here on Let's Talk Fort Worth every Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. as we keep you informed about what's going on downtown. Until tomorrow night at 7 p.m., good night.